The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. Oldest brother, Justin McElroy, here reporting for duty.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy, here also, I guess, reporting for duty.
Welcome to the service.
Oh, okay.
This is Lieutenant Commander Sergeant Corporal Griffin, Bill Fortuff McElroy, and... Guys, I don't know about you, but on this, our year of turbo driving, I'm pulling a lot of horsepower today.
Oh. Doesn't the horsepower pull you?
I'm being tugged by a lot of horses today.
One can drive horses, right? You still drive.
The horses pull you. I don't think if you're pulling horses, then
no,
you're
they're pulling you. You're totally right. And I do actually want to stop my bit and just get into the semantics of who's tugging who? Who's tugging who?
Don't tug horses.
Don't tug horses. Let them tug you. But the derb happened this past weekend. And
the derb.
I mean, we're recording this well before the derb, but I gotta say, I'm sitting pretty flush, I bet.
You think you did good with your bets? Your various bets?
How much money?
I like to think of them as investments in my shitty investments, maybe, is how I think of them. Bad investments.
I bet equally on every horse to win.
That's cool. That'll at least get you your money back.
Yeah, so no matter what, I'm
worst case scenario, tie.
If you believe in multiverses, it's going to hit for one of you.
That's
cool.
Or
all of us.
So, I took my kids' savings that they've been saving up at their part-time kid jobs, and I went to my horse guy. And I said,
they prefer Centaur, Griffin.
I said, what's the morning light odds on American Promise? And he got confused by the sentence for a second because he was like, "That's so bad."
I think all of us would right now if you said you were betting on America's Promise.
Betting on the future of America's Promise. American Promise.
Man, betting on.
Is a bet. They say the morning light odds 30-1. So this is going to be a big weekend for me, I'm thinking.
How much money did you put down?
$200.
Oh, yeah.
It's my children's. They don't have a lot of money. But they said, how do we turn this into more money? And I said, I have the investment opportunity of a lifetime. Its name is American Promise.
Can I speak on the Kentucky Derby for a moment?
Oh, please.
Please.
You have
the
floor.
As a West Virginian, I'd like to speak for a moment on the Kentucky Derby.
Go ahead. And go off king.
Thank you. Dear Kentucky, it's me, Justin McElroy, from West Virginia, right next door. Every once in a while, you guys like to pretend that you guys are fancy over there. There's the stuff with the bourbon where you're starting to act like that's really fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's the stuff with the horses and the big hats. And every time the nation's eye turns back to you, you like to act like you're pretty fancy. And we just want you to know, Kentucky, we see you every day.
We specifically.
Over here in West Virginia.
Yeah.
We see you every day.
And over here in Ohio, by the way, we've got you flanked.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Ohio weighing in. You see Kentucky every day, right, Trav?
Sort of temporal pincer on Kentucky you guys are putting down.
Yeah. And Trav, when you roll on over there to, what's on the, Covington?
Covington, Newport.
Does it feel a lot fancier? than where you left on the other side of the bridge?
More aristocratic, perhaps.
Bigger hats?
That's not necessarily the word I would use, Justin.
Yeah, interesting, huh. Trev.
Okay.
And fewer horses, too. I think I see more horses here in Ohio than sold, I see over in Covington.
Sold a false bill of goods. You think you roll up on any city in Kentucky, it's going to be equine in that shit. But no
Kentucky,
dice most of the time.
All of Kentucky, holistically speaking, Mr. Bashir, I assume you're a listener.
Thank you.
We see you. That's it.
You can't just change the whole kind of like identity of your state for other people who never really learned much about your state. Because if you could do that, we could all, everybody in West Virginia could just start acting like robots. And then whenever people think about West Virginia, they'll think, oh, the robot state, which is an upgrade, I think.
A lot of this, I think, is coming from a place of jealousy because West Virginia hasn't figured out how to do that kind of rebrand, and I think it's unfair that Kentucky kind of took...
The home of podcasting never caught on. I tried.
Yeah.
Did our best. They went through so many state mottos, I thought we could sneak the home of podcasting in there, but no dice.
Hey, one of my favorite movie-going memories was being in a West Virginia theater when Die Hard 4 came out, and there's a shot where they drive into West Virginia, and you can see the Welcome to West Virginia sign, and at that point, I believe the slogan was Open for Business.
Fuck yeah.
And that sign came up, and everyone in the theater booed.
Yeah, it's so good, man. That shit still goes down so smooth. No state has ever been brave enough to be like, please. In their state motto, please.
Please, anything.
Please.
But at least we're not like, things have been fancy here
right,
the whole
exactly.
time.
We're owning it. We could use some
we
help.
We love the horses and big hats, and that's the whole deal here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's fancy. All the mint julep for me. It's so fancy here. We see you every day. You drive here. You drive over here. I see you every day. Okay? You're not fooling me.
The Derby and the mint julep and stuff, that's your fancy sitting room in your house that you keep clean for company. We see the rest of the house all the time.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying. Griffin,
you notice
favorite...
I'm not judging.
Yeah.
No.
Should I see it?
Yeah, we do see it.
We see it. Griffin, who's favorite to win that old Derby?
I mean, this one coming in eighth post, we've got journalism. Kick ass. Kick ass.
The horse's name is just journalism?
The horse's name is journalism. This one's trained by Matthew W. McCarthy. 3-1 morning line odds. I mean, pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff there. Coming in not too far behind, we got Sovereignty. That's on a horse actually feels a little intimidating to me.
Yeah.
We got Sandman. Named for Adam Sandler, actually. It's like naming the horse after Adam Sandler's nickname. I mean, people are...
Yeah, but if the horse is named Adam Sandler, that would be a little... That would be pretty good, actually. I think I would really like that. That would make me really happy.
Then we start getting to a pretty big gap here of the quality of some of these ponies I'm seeing. Because we got a Grande, Burnham Square, Rodriguez, clocking in on 10, 12, 1. And then it's like no one, and then it's like a bunch of Snickle Fritz. And the Snickle Fritz has the best names, which is the frustrating thing.
Because yeah.
I want to see Owen Almighty... roll up on first, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see Coal Battle win something.
Coal Battle?
Coal Battle. Like the
Coal Battle.
Coal Battle. Feels cool to say it. Admire Daytona, Japan. This one's from Japan, I guess. They put it in the name of it, but it's called Admire Daytona, which is really good. No horse names are ever like in the commanding sort of tense.
That's true.
You like this horse? Admire Daytona.
We need more interrogative horse names.
Yes.
More questions.
Yes.
More questions.
Do you admire Daytona?
Uh-huh.
Faster?
Render Judgment? That's another horse name without the question mark.
America's Promise?
Yeah. American Promise, Travis. It's not possessive.
Oh. Wow, you really, really opened my eyes, Griffin. Made me think about, I don't own America Promise. American Promise.
All you need to happen, and this is what the great thing about horse racing, dudes, is it's the great equalizer. Because all you really need to hit it big is for one horse to run really fast. And that could happen for any reason at any time.
And all the other horses to not run as fast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's important too, but you just need your horse to be the fastest one. So all you need, you make these outside bets, your horse might go super duper. Do you know that you run the same speed every time you run? No, you probably have good runs and bad runs.
Oh, okay.
You might get, Rodriguez out there, and he might have the fucking run of his life, and then you're up $6,000.
You're rich.
Or put all your money on it. Think about all the money you could win.
Yeah.
There's no downside to gambling.
Yeah.
That's what they don't tell you.
It's not even the gambling thing. Yeah, like, obviously, there's lots and lots of downsides. This is just...
Wait, what?
There's lots of bad stuff. But, like...
Wait, really?
Yeah, like, really. But
oh, fuck.
For this,
I gotta make some calls.
You can bet
Sorry.
To lose.
Yeah, this
bet
isn't...
Bet to lose? I can lose?
It's
bet
not
to lose.
You bet to
that
lose.
They will lose.
That's gone. But and it's gone and it's bad. And you can get like really, really into it. So it's like not great. Like don't fuck with it. But like knowing
don't
your personality, I'm like stay far
I bet
away.
The show.
Yeah, but it's okay. That makes sense.
I bet this show.
It's not gambling.
On a horse.
It's not gambling. You just need one horse to run really fast. That's all that it is. It's like a guess. It's like a guess saying, I think my horse is going to run really, really fast today.
Okay, so I could still, we could still keep the show.
Okay, that's good. That, I'm at, what a relief.
What would you, in this example, Travis, was the show converted to a currency amount? And I would love to know what you think that number is.
Well, my friend Adam Carolla, who,
move
as far
on,
as I
Justin,
know,
start the what? Show. Move on.
Move on.
Move on and
this
start
This is
the
an
show.
Advice show. And before we get started, though, I did want to talk about one other thing. And I know that sometimes we just get distracted by stuff. And I promise this isn't that. But did you guys hear about the guy they rescued from Mount Fuji?
No.
I did hear about the guy they rescued from Mount Fuji.
Oh, okay. Well,
I did.
But Travis hasn't. So, like, you could deliver it to one of us and I'll just sit here with my arms.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'll just cross my arms.
Well, now I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's probably better that way.
Oh, my God, Justin.
Trav, they rescued a guy from Mount Fuji. And I'm saying this guy because they haven't identified him yet for probably a good reason. This guy, Trav, he got rescued from Mount Fuji. Now, that in and of itself is not that surprising, right?
It's quite a hike.
Quite a hike up there, literally speaking. He's a 27-year-old university student. And the only thing that's interesting about him being airlifted out of Mount Fuji is that he had been... he had been airlifted off of Mount Fuji 5 days earlier, Trav.
What?
Now, wait. I know what you're asking. Justin, how could this happen? Well, Trav, oh, man, he got rescued from Mount Fuji, but he forgot his phone.
On Mount
Get
Fuji.
Get out of the town.
Yeah.
He forgot his phone on Mount Fuji. And so he went back to go get his phone at Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
And he was airlifted off after he, the first time he left because he lost his crampons. And I know what you're saying, Justin. What? Yeah, you know, the spiky things you put on your shoes to help you climb ice good? He lost them.
Sorry, so those are called what now?
Crampons.
Crampons? Crampons?
Crampons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're called crampons.
Because you just cramp them on when you need them, you know?
According to the story, he just lost them. According to the Nippon TV story, he lost them and he felt sick, so they came and got him. But then 5 days later, he's like, ah, man, I forgot my phone.
Yeah, and went on back up for it. Now, what I do think is quite courageous is on that return trip to get his phone, that's pretty risky, because if you don't at least make it to where you left your phone the first time, you're fucking dead, dude, because you don't have a phone. I know exactly where it is. It's halfway up Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a bummer that would be when you do, like, find my device, and you're like, it must be in the couch some back on Mount Fuji. Oh, yeah. Man.
He did. The second time, by the way, it was a different student who just saw him, and he was like, this dude, he came back to town. He's like, hey, you remember the guy from before? No, he's back. You got to get back up there. He's out there on the...
Yeah,
this
he has,
is why I think the problem with airlifting people from dangerous situations is you're not letting them learn from their mistakes. So now this guy believes that every time he goes to Mount Fuji because he's lost something,
literally,
they're just going to airlift him out.
Just a helicopter parent, quite literally. This is my other dad, a helicopter. He's always going to get me out of any sticky situation I find myself in.
I do think that it is not clear. Okay, it's not clear whether or not he did get the phone. So that is something that I will say right now up front. If it turns out this didn't work, the three of us will go up and get it for you.
I'd love
Please don't go up.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Please don't go up again.
So beautiful this time of year. I would love to go rescue a
stranger's
phone.
We did a pretty good hiking video. I don't know if you knew, but we're kind of good at hiking now.
Yeah.
And there's three of us, which I think increases our
more.
Chances.
Mm-hmm. Of living through it and getting the phone, for sure.
And
how
listen,
do you think
we don't have to get to the top? We just got to get to the fucking phone. That's
how do you think the airlifting people would feel if, like, the three of us were going and just one of us was done?
Yeah.
And we were like, airlift just me. And then the other two were like, we're actually going to keep going, but
we're vibing,
you're on
actually
standby.
What did you say? We're vibing. Take him to the hospital for sure. But we're on a vibe right now.
But be on standby.
Be on standby.
Once we get the phone, we are going to give you a call. We're not going back.
My feet are super sweaty, so be ready to deal with that situation with a quickness. But do get him to the hospital.
Let's help people.
Yes, finally.
I'm a senior in college about to graduate with a degree in game design. Every year I've been in college, I've had at least one class with a particular professor who is somewhat infamous within the department. This professor used to be a professional clown, in particular a juggler. Since he first mentioned this in my freshman year, I wanted to see this man juggle, but I can't figure out a way to make it happen without the danger of him thinking I'm intentionally interrupting class. Brothers, how do you get this man to juggle without making him think that it was, while making him think it was his idea? That's from Craving Clownery in Chicago.
Yeah, man. The public persona that clowns have kind of made random acts of clowning more rare in public spaces. And that's a real shame, this stigma.
Well, don't you think if the professor brought it out, you say, since he first mentioned this in my freshman year, I don't think you drop into casual conversation or into a teaching situation, I was a professional juggler, and then think, I hope no one asks me to juggle. Right.
Have you noticed how many of your lessons revolve around four bowling pins?
Well,
there you go. That's, he's begging for it.
Maybe just sit in the front row of a class and be like, are you hungry? Orange. All right, here's another. Here's another. And now he's juggling.
Yeah. He can handle it too. Have you guys ever noticed that there's no such thing as like a bad amateur juggler? Anytime anyone tells you that they're into juggling, they're like, check it out with knives. Like anyone who gets into it deep enough that they can do like the dangerous stuff. So he's gotta be able to handle whatever you toss at him.
I'd like to think, Griffin, that's a result of, I don't think anyone who's maybe tried to juggle twice goes to people and says, watch what I can do.
Watch this. I think I can.
So this person, just so I can track the chronology, went from being a professional clown juggler to a game designer to a person teaching game design. They must just be swimming in it, huh?
Justin. You know what I
mean? Just absolutely drowning in it.
Can like we money?
Can we just say yes to that? He's drowning in. You're suggesting he's drowning in whatever he.
Whatever,
he may want.
Whatever. Fill in the blanks. All right.
I don't.
He's drowning in it.
I don't want to, man.
I don't want to, Justin.
I know we're not supposed to say no and shit, man. But like,
that's
I don't want to, dude.
Do. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying. It's just the truth of the.
But like, we don't know them, and you know that. So to say that they're drowning.
That makes it better. If I knew them, I wouldn't say these things, these terrible
that's
things
true. You would
about people
say,
I know.
Right.
Griffin.
Fair point.
That would be rude.
Oh.
You can't get better at throwing stuff at them. Like, you can't get better than everyone in the class throw five balls at them.
But I
and
can't.
Then just like,
but we can't have us out here saying on our show, throw stuff
throw
at
balls
this guy.
At people.
Okay,
yeah,
then when
I'm
he
fine.
Comes into class the next time, what's that on his desk? It's five perfectly placed bowling pins.
Yeah.
And you're all sitting perfectly, like, attentive and ready.
Yeah.
But you're. Again, that is going to seem like a setup. He's going to read that for what it is.
Yes.
You've got to make him think that it was his idea to juggle, you know?
You come into the room carrying a big crate of apples. You're going to have to do this a few times before you do what I'm about to suggest next, just to throw off any suspicion. You show up and everyone's like, there's old apple crates again. But this time you trip and the apples spill all over the floor. There's no fucking way. There's no fucking way he can resist that. You know he's going to put some produce in the air.
Okay. You come in. Here's your capstone, your senior project, right? You've been working on a game, a bowling game, right? And when the ball smashes in the bowling pins, they're supposed to go flying up in the air in all different directions. But you just can't get the image in your head right of how it should look.
Yes.
How am I supposed to know? Well, because I throw a bowling pin in the air, it comes right down. I don't even have time to register what a bowling pin in the air looks like.
We
what
have to take important to gravity measurements for the video game.
For the video game.
What am I supposed to do?
Have a cutscene in your game where Osvarius, the great sorcerer, is you know, trying to make his orbs. He's like, you know, balancing his orbs, but have the animation just be like, like not look like look all fucked up. And then your teacher's going to have to be like, that's simply not what it looks like to juggle.
You'll fail your capstone. That's the cost of doing business.
You won't fail your capstone because what you're going to do is say, listen, I've made this mocap suit.
Yeah.
It is black lycra and I glue golf balls to it. And I don't know how to make a mocap suit, but I made one and I'm going to need someone who knows how to juggle so I can cap their mo.
Yeah.
Can I cap your mo?
If you know what the camera setup is for mocap, that would be good too. Because have the suit.
I just assumed
you just have to know more than the teacher. Like, as long as the teacher doesn't think that you don't know what you're doing, you're fine.
I assume once you put the mocap balls on, the computer does the rest. That's my understanding.
Ping pong balls, the computers.
No, guys, you got it all wrong. You don't have to do anything special up front.
Yeah.
You can film anyone in any amount of paintballs, and the computer will get that in post.
The computer will get it. Don't worry.
It knows how to translate the ping pong footage
into digital guides. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
That's
for
what
sure.
Holy Motors is largely about,
for the most part.
For the most part.
Also, once you cap his mo, now you can watch him juggle whenever the fuck you want, huh? Yeah. On your phone. You could have a little app that you make of your professor juggling, and you can turn him into Sephiroth. You could do whatever you want.
You got his mocap.
It's a man versus machine who can juggle better. The man would do a better job,
I think. There would be nothing impressive.
Much more impressive, I think.
Yeah.
Seeing a computer program juggle on a computer screen versus a man doing it, there's a different level of skill.
It's like when a computer is good at chess. Like, yeah, guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can juggle the better than me, but I can do other stuff. I can love.
Whoa, guys, I just got an award in the mail. It's from the National Juggler Society of America. It's most improved. Most improved discussion of juggling. So, we've really come a long way, they say. Like, it's very tasteful.
Yeah.
And not as negative as normal.
Awesome.
And it's a thank you. They say thank you.
Put that up against...
I can see it from here, Justin. They love the part where you said swimming in it.
They said, we didn't get that part because jugglers, but like, we love it. We loved the bit, the whole bit.
Go ahead and put that up next to the commemorative furry friend plaque that we were sent. For most improved, still not quite there.
That one was a pillow. That one was a large pillow, so I can't hang that on the wall. But
I could put it next to the Spotify plaque we got sent that I accidentally used as a doorstop for a day.
Next to our awards, we've won for best ad read.
All right, guys, this bit turned sad.
It's bitter. There's a difference.
Bitter, yeah. There's an activation to it when you're
I can
bitter.
Wake up tomorrow with bitter. You know, bitter will get you going in the morning. Coffee's bitter, Griffin.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Can we do the next question?
Absolutely. I'm a teacher that just started a new part-time job with a company that tries to discourage kids and teens from vaping. I've been hired to help create instructional activities, specifically an escape room, that teaches kids the dangers. How do I make an escape room so good that the teens stop vaping? And that's from Christy.
This is an immense opportunity for us. And I want to just sort of recognize that and manifest that a little bit, that this is an enormous opportunity for us.
Thank you to the universe, I guess, for bringing this opportunity.
Thank God and universe and Jesus and all of it, because the idea of being able to make a vape escape room. There's already, like, the name is kind of there perfectly. Like, it's really important for us to stick the landing on this.
I'm willing to bet that your bosses would frown upon the, like, you have to vape a bunch and you're trying to, like, burn them out on it.
Okay.
Right? Or it's like, oh, they vaped so much that they don't ever want to do it again.
How was the escape room? I had to vape four whole carts, bro.
Wait. This is good. Guys, this is good. Hold on. You're so close to a breakthrough here.
Okay.
A lot of escape rooms don't have clues where you have to vape the puzzles.
Yeah. I'm saying lasers that you can only see in the vape. Or
you have to vape a cloud out to see. Yeah, that's really good. Or like, what's that chemical that's coming from the other room? You have to vape it quick to tell what it is.
I mean,
you know?
Jokes aside, I think the three of us could sit here and within 10 minutes come up with 30 genuinely pretty good ideas for how vape and vapor could be included in different puzzles.
But would the participant leave with an overall negative impression?
No, because we allowed them to do a whole heist using nothing but a series of more powerful vapes.
Much like my hero, Solid Snake, I've used vaping in all its many forms.
Well, I never knew you could do it digital.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we... Here's the thing. If they find out that we are trying to deliver any kind of message at all, it's done. It does have to be subtle, and so...
Could it be floor vents? And it's like, vaping out, escape...
Vaping out the kids, and they're...
No. There's floor vents that are vaping out, like, poison. But it's vape, right? But there's, like, pumping poison in the room. If you don't escape in 60 minutes...
Yeah.
You sort of die.
And you're in a giant lung.
You're trying to escape a giant lung, a cyber lung.
A cyber lung? Is that what you said?
I just feel like escaping from a real lung would be grody. It would be in my head, if it's like a... And it's also hard to make doors that would look like heart doors, you know what I mean? Or lung doors, like fleshy
organs. A cyber lung would be clearer.
I think it would be easier if you had a rectangular door.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, I don't have rectangular doors in my lung.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point.
Well, they're teens. And our school system isn't great, so they don't know.
I'm just going to check in here and remind us that this is all based on a reality in which this company tells our dear listener, yes, it's okay to make them vape a whole bunch to get our message across. It's okay to do it really, really, right. really
that
hard.
That will be shut down early. That's a good point.
Okay, then what about we go the opposite way, and it's a super fun escape room with an amazing prize, but in the middle of the room, there's a single vape, like on a pedestal, and if anybody vapes once, you lose.
Automatic
failure.
So you go to put the key in the door after having just solved the mirror maze, and you turn it, and it just breaks, and then a voice comes on and says, you're here forever because one of you vaped. You live here now, and you'll never see your parents again.
Yeah.
Cool. That could be
good. But then you do let them out. You give them, like, 5 minutes to
really stew in that, and then you can let them go.
I feel like requiring vaping is so tricky. Because, obviously, hugely effective.
Ethically.
Yeah. Hugely effective.
A real tightrope.
Yeah. It's tough. It is. Because you want to do, you know, you could have a vape experience where you're so overloaded with nicotine. You're like, I never want to. I feel so sick. Like the whole carton, you know, vape a carton.
Yeah, that's what I think that's what Travis is suggesting is that.
Oh, but it's so tricky, though, Trav. It is. I see your point, and I love that.
No, that wasn't my point.
I see the point you're trying to make.
I wouldn't let you do this. Now, what if you had a specially formulated nasty vape?
Ooh,
and you're like,
cool.
This is what vaping is.
Yeah.
And you make it out of the gross.
You make it out of the stuff that Nintendo makes their cartridges out of.
If you want to educate kids on the dangers of vaping, I think job one is you gotta find some. You know what I mean? I don't think that work's been done for you. I haven't seen the research that says it's bad for me at all. I love this stuff.
Yeah, Justin's like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland out here.
The science is out on if it's good or bad to vape.
Can I just say...
Oils.
Obviously, this whole bit and segment was necessitated due to the lawsuit that we lost against the Truth campaign. And so we did have to do this whole question, this whole segment. I do think they're going to make us do it fucking again because of that caveat you've just added to it. So I just want to say to all the Truth execs...
I can't help it. It's tough. But they had a check came from RJ Reynolds like while we were doing it that they wanted me to get back on board.
Yeah.
Maybe throughout just regular escape room... Right? Yeah. No vaping theme. But every so often, pictures flash up on the screen of really uncool celebrities vaping.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the puzzles that are going on or whatever. Just a reminder of, like, this dork vapes. You know what I mean?
Do you think that
would get the kids?
They might look fucking cool, though, is the only problem.
What if the kids are dorks and they see these dorks vaping and they're like, but they look cooler vaping than they do not vaping?
I think any escape room is a vape escape room if the person doing it is discreet enough.
Mm.
They're probably
like maybe tucks their chin,
doing a little. I see that sometimes at the movie theater. I see someone, and then just blue light shoots up all over their face. It's like, I see you, cowboy.
I see you. I see you, co-pilot.
I saw that at Dave Matthews Band concert, and it just lit up the room. It was like a night sky.
That's because they were hitting him with all those follow spots when Dave took that huge, huge,
huge fucking rip.
let's head on into the money zone. Let's get that all cleared up. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get that worked out.
The doctor gave me a salve to get it all wiped out.
It's better with you.
You can save time in a bottle.
Oh.
And they aren't letting this secret out, but I'll air it out. You can harness the power of technology to capture your most special moments and put them in a bottle that you can use to relive and think about whenever you want to. It's called digital photography. And it's here and it's now and it's happening. And the best way to integrate this incredible, exciting new technology into your life or the life of a loved one, maybe an older loved one, or maybe a loved one who doesn't know how a lot of stuff is supposed to go. Aura Frames can help you with that. It's Aura Frames, a digital picture frame that you can load up with decades of family photos, maybe as a Mother's Day gift.
Hopefully your own, but they don't ask. You can put other people's family photos in there if you want.
Give your moms a Aura Frame filled with pictures of families. Candid.
That are better than yours, maybe
candid
more
family
attractive.
Photos, aspirational.
You
could
put pictures of anything. Like, I think you're limited. Like, you could put pictures of, like, all the different Burger King logos throughout the years, and they're, like, on a scroll. Like, whatever. Yeah.
Pictures of your mom's favorite celebrity vaping. Whatever you want.
That would be so cool. Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code my brother. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to tell you guys about fast-growing trees. Anybody who's seen the video of me recording knows that I love plants and I like gardening. And I got a redbud tree from Fast Growing Trees, planted it, and this is no shit. Within 2 weeks, there were blooms on it.
Gosh,
And it's absolutely thriving. And I loved it so much that I went back and ordered a Meyer lemon tree to grow in my office, which is basically is arriving anytime today in the next 2 hours. And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. Because you'll have lemons like just there, like whenever you want one or need one. Man. You'll always be able to see them.
I'm thinking of like starting an empire. We'll see.
Okay.
Because when life gives you lemon trees, make lemonade trees. That's what I always say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you also sometimes say the ad copy?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. You keep talking. They have all kinds of plants there, not just trees, flowering stuff. They got shrubs, bushes, anything that you need. Plus, they've got trained plant experts that can help you plan your landscaping, all kinds of stuff. There's really great information about like what area you live in and what would grow well there. It's easy to choose from their huge selection. And this spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code MYBROTHER at checkout. Now's the perfect time to plant. Use MYBROTHER, all one word, to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depresh Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depresh Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Alston.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
I want a munch.
Squad.
Squad.
I want a munch.
Squad. What's that genre, man? Is that Zydeco?
Acid jazz.
It was like
acid
blue? Jazz. No, it was like bluegrass.
Zydeco.
I heard banjo in there.
Yeah.
Zydeco, bluegrass, kind of a vibe. It's more vibes Blutico. Than notes.
Yeah, cool.
More vibes than notes. Hey, listen, I want to tell you one quick thing before we get into the bulk of the bigger story. Because this is just J&J Snack Foods enhances super pretzel recipe.
Okay? Wait.
And they just say that like, hey, you know, super pretzels, we are just going to make them
different.
What's a super pretzel?
Travis,
you've embarrassed yourself again and your family.
No, I guess I'm just more of the land. I like my pretzels just normal. Salt of the earth, salted pretzel. Just a
like
normal.
When I show you this pretzel, like
oh super okay pretzels. Yeah I know exactly what this is. Okay,
okay,
yeah.
So like super pretzels, they're just making them better. NBD, like we're just like
that's cool. That's cool that a company can do that. Like
yeah, and here's the paragraph. And you know what they did for this? This gets one paragraph. And here's what it is: J&J Snack Foods has enhanced its super pretzel recipe for an upgraded flavor, softer texture, and great taste, even when held in warmers.
Yep.
The new taste and easy prep makes super pretzel an easy sell. Ideal for grab-and-go occasions, the new super pretzel recipe remains delicious, yep, even when held in warmers, reducing labor. This new recipe will start being produced in June and will be available to serve late summer with existing GTIN order numbers. Period. End of press release.
It's better
and this
now.
This is something that matters, okay? This is something that what this means is that come July or August, you're going to go to the ball field and you're going to have a super pretzel. You're going to be just a little bit happier.
Yeah.
That matters.
That matters. That you it's never rare. We never get shit like
we
that.
We never get that.
It's very rare for a company to be like, listen, man, we took a long, hard look at ourselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
And we realized we weren't doing as much as we could on this.
You
not good enough.
You're telling me you liked those pretzels? Because even we knew they were dog shit. And yeah, liked them?
My dusty old grandfather started serving those to idiots in the 70s, okay?
But they're
if
legit.
If you like his dusty old pretzels, you're the idiot now.
We're on some new shit now, though. The best day to enjoy a super pretzel is not yesterday when they were bullshit. Now yeah, they're so good.
And we added a third hump. All the other pretzels out there got two humps. We put a third hump in the middle.
Third.
Same price.
If previous Mays and Junes are any indication, I will be enjoying at least 3 to 4 super pretzels in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be, I think, hindered by the fact that I know I'm eating an inferior product.
A shitty pretzel, yeah. Before the glow up. Did they say at all what they're doing? Like, to make it
made it better.
It's better. I mean, like, here's what I love. They're pretzel makers. You're a pretzel eater. You do not need to worry about it.
That's
you
true.
You know what I mean? Like, don't worry. From the eating experience, it will improve. And Griffin, if you happen to be a distributor of super pretzels, they're going to be less in your holder a little bit.
Great
Same
news. This one's for the fans and the small business pretzel retailers. The
you do not need to update your product orders. The numbers are the same.
What are we going to do? Write 2 press releases? One for the consumer and one for our vendors? No fucking way, man.
If you get new super pretzels and you still have old ones in stock, send them to us so they can be destroyed. What? Please?
Humanely.
This is also, though, kind of an Emperor's New Pretzels, where if I was a pretzel company, I would put out a press release once a year with no details that just says, yeah, we're making them better now.
Yeah. I mean, we're joking. Domino's did do this. Domino's did do this effectively maybe a decade or so ago at this point, where they ran commercials just like, hey, we get it. It fucking sucks. It's no good.
Wendy's Fries did it not too long ago. Carl Laredo owned the fact that Wendy's Fries are trash and they're going to try again.
But what I'm saying is then not change a damn thing about it. Mm-hmm. So then somebody goes and eats a pretzel in July and they're like, yeah, I can taste it. Yeah. It's so much better.
Also,
now.
Wendy's, maybe take one more stab at it. Maybe take one more run at it. You got closer, but not quite.
I will say they were good for a little bit after you changed it. Now you're kind of
slipping. Caught you slipping, Wendy. A little
bit. Got too many robots making them, maybe. I don't know. Mm. Yeah, so that gets one paragraph, and it will increase the overall joy of the human race by some percentage point. It's not a big one, but it's a micron of one, you know, whatever. Yeah. Meanwhile, Sonic is releasing a Unicorn Dreams slush.
You're fucked, dude.
And I'm going to show you what that looks like. And it says, fuck you, Justin. Get ready to come here 8 times, is what it says here in small print.
Yeah.
Eat shit, J-Man. We hate your fucking guts.
You're going to smell this.
You gotta come here 80 times.
You're going to smell this pink slime in your dreams, dog.
You might as well take it and put it in the, go climb, by and large, climb in the back of your big, beautiful Honda Odyssey and dump the whole fucking thing out on the ground. Because that's what you're going to have in there.
What this drink makes me think about is my child and both of them, how they theoretically like the idea of like these little like tapioca bubbles in their drink. And then when faced with the reality of
one bubble,
they detest it.
This is what it looks like. So you guys can see the,
that straw is ineffective. It tapers at the top. There's no way one of the tapioca bubbles are making it up there.
We're going to talk about the tapioca
bubbles. The tapioca bubbles?
This is not me laughing because you said the word wrong, Travis. It's me laughing because the way you said it was, like, so cute.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, we only laugh at the way Justin says stuff. The Sonic Drive-In is ready transport fans to a world of whimsical wonder with its newest, most wonderful creation yet, the Unicorn Dream Slush. Prepare to be enchanted as the limited time slush arrives at Sonic locations nationwide on May 5th. But those eager for a little extra sparkle can unlock early access through the Sonic app starting today, April 28th.
If you order them
before that, they're going to be like, how did you know? Who told you?
Yeah.
That's only available through the app. The vibrant pink cotton candy slush is swirled with blue raspberry flavor bubbles, topped with a fluffy cloud of whipped topping and a sprinkle of shimmering pink cotton candy sugar crystals. With every sip, a little bit more enchantment fills the air.
Your kid's vomit is going to look so beautiful later, guys.
Never before. Oh, there's unicorn horn straws free with every Unicorn Dream slush starting May 5th while supplies last.
Okay.
Not legit unicorn horns, though.
No, that's illegal.
Okay. Now, thanks, Biden. But the straw itself is tapered
right
to the top.
You ain't getting boba through that. No way.
No bubba bubbles.
I also love that they got their own spin on boba pearls. Like, it's probably the same thing, but you call them flavor bubbles for the folks who think they don't like boba pearls.
Yeah, these are flavor bubbles. Fans are invited to share their own wishes and whimsical moments inspired by the legendary Wish Awakening Unicorn Horn Straw by visiting hashtag Wish Sip Believe on social media. Wish Sip Believe? Can I get a quick check from my lead CSI researcher, Griffin McElroy? Pretend I've pulled up to your computer. Griffin, what do you got on this hashtag? Wish Sip Believe.
Enhance. Oh, wow. This is actually a breaking news story. It's a friend of the show, Liz Gilbert's next book. I'm fucking stoked for this one, dude. Yeah. And the secret this time is to make a little wish, and then you have a sip, usually of a Sonic slush, and then you just kind of wait. You just kind of wait.
Did you say a Masonic slush? Because yes, Griffin, now we're talking.
Make a wish.
Drink from the Masonic slush and let Liz Gilbert shepherd you to the fulfillment.
They produce it in the light of the full moon. At your local chapter.
Everyone knows how you make a Masonic slush, Griffin. You don't have to go into it.
Here's a quote. We developed the Unicorn Dream slush to be more than just a drink.
It's a money maker.
It's a Masonic pledge to devote your life. No, it's an entire culinary experience.
Oh.
It's bursting with fantastical fun and flavor in every sip, said someone from Sonic. With its playful pink colors, blue raspberry flavor bubbles, and the accompanying unicorn horn straw, it is a treat for the senses and the imagination. and guaranteed to make every moment sparkle.
You know what else?
As always, I'll remind you, if your sonic beverage sends your imagination spinning with delight, you should probably go outside more, look at a river, anything. Anything at all.
Culinary experience. Culinary experience is such a fun thing to use as like a thing to be striven for, because you know what else is like a culinary experience? Finding a piece of glass in your hamburger. Like, that's a culinary experience. It doesn't mean good.
This expands it though, Travis. So when my kids intentionally upend this $18 drink in my big, beautiful Buick, they'll say, no, 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 we weren't supposed to drink it, Dad. This is all part of the experience.
It's a fun mess. We make these sometimes.
Fun, fantastical mess. We're like the river queen fairies of the mess. Anyway, you get the idea.
And you'll be able to smell it in the interior of your car for the next 2 years. It's all a sensory experience.
Be living with it. Cooper has been enjoying an Easter bunny that she left in the back seat for a week. And then we had a hot day and I saw her dip her finger into the puddle and thought, hey, I'm going to clean that out. It's time.
I got not her emergency rations.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, Coop. How about another question, guys?
Yeah.
Do we have time? Yeah. Help somebody else. I was having lunch outside today when someone came out to eat as well. I work at a large hospital, so I never met this person. I was sitting on a bench further away, but this other individual sat at one of the tables that are near a very obvious goose nest.
Mm.
The goose nest has been there about a week. You've really been paying very close attention to this. Congratulations. I've tried to sit as those tables since the goose nest has appeared, but one of the geese got mad, so I don't sit there anymore. When this unknown coworker sat down, the goose got mad. It flew at them and started honking and hissing. And the coworker started running around and yelling, but the goose kept chasing. The coworker.
Yeah, this part is where it crosses. It does cross a line. You all right?
The coworker yelled, help and get it. Help! Get it! Get it! At one point, they tripped and fell over.
Oh, fuck, man.
I was the only other person around. I was watching the incident, but it didn't really occur to me that they were yelling for my help. I don't know what I could have done to improve the situation. Eventually, other people came out and ushered the employee back inside. What's my responsibility in this goose attack? Should I warn people in the future to just not sit there? And that's from Troubled in Tulsa.
No, can't do that. That's too much to put on you, because if you become the Batman of this bench just to make sure, no, don't do it, that goose will go fucking crazy on you. That is not something that you're going to feel super comfortable saying to a bunch of different people. It shouldn't be your job.
You're right. You shouldn't have to make the people afraid, Griffin. You should have to make the geese afraid.
Good luck.
The geese need someone who says, hey, if you step out of line, if you come at humans, there's someone watching the humans.
Yeah,
okay? I understand. The humans are protected. You need a goose costume of your own to be a bigger goose, to establish dominance.
Travis,
yes.
Exactly what I was heading towards. Thank you. You read my mind.
Yeah, I get it,
bigger
man.
Bigger goose.
Bigger goose.
I'd swear on a stack of Bibles, we just did another goose-based, work-based sort of
experience. Did we say in there something about like having your own drill-bit Taylor goose that shows up to protect you from other geese?
Rachel, could we just play whatever we said for that goose-based, work-based answer? Because that would be like, if we could just coast on that for a minute, I'm sure what we said then was funny.
The problem is, you're worried about making amends with the goose.
Okay.
Maybe everyone else has established goose dominance.
Yeah, yeah. How do they do that?
Head bonk.
That does seem like maybe the only thing a goose would understand.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to like show your goose your bank account and they're like, whoa man,
shit.
Real high earner.
Sit them down, show them pictures of your kids. Like, I'm happy. I'm totally satisfied with my life. And the goose is like, damn, you got it all figured out.
Damn,
Reggie.
Man, I wish I was you.
Shit, dude.
Maybe you're the lucky goose.
How much could we charge freaks for an all goose episode of this show? Because I feel like you could stitch together a very,
very,
very
goose
high
maybe
quality,
sponsored
very
by Grey Goose Vodka
early
or Ryan
in this,
Gosling.
Early in this series, I also remember we talked a lot about like making love with a goose, like how cool.
Tender. Like, yeah, yeah,
how cool that would be. And like thinking about it now, it's like, why would I say that? That seems like a wild thing to say.
You weren't a father then.
I wasn't a father then.
It does occur to me that with 761 episodes under our belt, we could make clip shows an hour long themed around any topic.
Yeah.
I bet that you could think of, we could pull things where we talked about
the
that.
Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
One.
Grinch, hour long Frasier sewed. I mean, like,
six,
yeah, absolutely.
A 6 day long horse extravaganza. That's possible.
When they were saying, help, get it. Now, they were under duress. We can agree
help
on that.
Help is, okay, Travis, yeah, these are two different moments, right? Help you might yell at any time without really thinking about
yeah.
it, right? That's
yeah.
it. That's impulsive. Get it yeah. is where the mood is shifting.
Get the goose?
It's the goose.
It's a violent request. It's like, you have to use your body to get it. Get it. I can't get it.
It's attentions are on me. My ability to get it is nil.
I'm too scared to get it. I need you to be brave and get it right now.
That's get it, like power kill it or just grab it?
Squeeze it, buy it, lift it, now upgrade it.
It's incredible power of geese is they can make people forget that kicking exists.
Uh-huh.
Because if you have the power of kicking, no goose can stand against you. It's just that you don't want to kick a goose.
Yeah.
And that's very good.
This is my theory, Justin. The goose is intimidating psychologically.
Yeah.
But not physically in such a way that you would feel good about doing damage to it.
Listen, a hotshot over here who doesn't have a goose actively attacking him in this moment. If you did, your tone would be different, I bet. You're not so skit. You're not so tough, Mr. Goose.
No. I'm saying I would be terrified of a goose chasing me, right?
Yeah.
But if I get home from work that day and I walk up to my beautiful wife who has to love me because we're married, and I say, baby, guess what I did for today? Kick the goose in the fucking face. She's not going to cheer for me.
No.
If that person said, get it. And you ran over and absolutely punted that thing. I mean, housed it. Shucked that bad boy 20 yards. Is that person going to look at you like, thanks, chief?
Thanks,
are they going to look at you like, you fucking psychopath? Fuck?
That's And then you said get it. When you said get it, I thought you meant shank it 20.
What? What did you think I was going to do with it?
Maybe there's a subconscious fear in all of us that we'd run up to punt the goose, kick it, make contact, and it would maybe budge an inch and then just turn and look at us as we backed away, rubbing our now sore ankles.
I think my greater fear, Trav, is that it would not move, but my foot would just bury the chest of the goose, just exploding it. Like, I would just feel its avian bones shatter around my foot as the wound began gushing goose blood everywhere.
Yeah,
and the cops show up.
They're like, he said get it.
He's an accessory.
He said get it. He knows I'm on a short fuse.
And then you got to go to Randy Johnson's support group.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, I didn't think that would happen to the bird.
What if Randy Johnson had the ball at the time? Like, you're not going to get me. There's no way. There's no way. I can't do it again.
He was so good at pitching, he would get bored on the mound. So he's like, let's see if I can hit that bird.
Oh, fuck. Now we could do an episode about Randy Johnson.
Yeah, put a cork in the Randy Johnson blowing up a bird jar. I think
maybe have Randy Johnson show up to talk to the bird.
They have to know. Yeah.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you to everybody who came out and saw us at the Harmony House Ren Faire last weekend. Presumably that all went off without a hitch. We're recording it beforehand, so I don't know, but I hope so. Thanks for coming if you came out.
We have some new merch. Really exciting. Never had anything like this in our store before. We've got some flaming, not poisoning, raging tea of doom. A spicy caffeine-free tea in collaboration with Good Store Tea.
I've got some of their tea. It kicks ass. I'm so excited for this collab. I'm so excited for this tea.
And a Plato's Rave 1,000-piece puzzle with artwork by Danielle Birch. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Center for Reproductive Rights. So make sure you check that out, macroymerch.com. And there's so much other stuff on there, too.
Yeah, we got some live shows coming up, too. We got tickets on sale for shows coming up in Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio for Mabim Bam and Taz. All the Taz shows are going to be Taz Versus. We're doing some cons. We're going to be at Origins Game Fair in Columbus and Dragon Con in Atlanta doing stuff. You can find out all of that scheduling stuff and get tickets over at bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
And we haven't mentioned it in a while, but we got, if you go to McElroyFamily.card with two R's.co, We have places over there that we have partnered with before and nonprofits that we've worked with and stuff like that. So if you're, I don't know, looking for a way to help or a place to get involved, maybe check that out, mcroyfamily.card.co.
Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. I am personally a huge fan of Montaigne's body of work, and this song in particular is especially meaningful because it's on our show and I hear it a whole lot. So yeah, thank you very much.
That's a good point, Griffin. Thank you for sharing that. That was very vulnerable of you.
Thanks.
And I respect that immensely.
You, Griff.
Who's got a fear?
Oh, boy.
Griffin, why don't you read it this time?
Sure, I'll do it. This year, I'm going to get faster than my fear of giant foods. The grocery store chain?
Or giant foods. You know what? It works both ways. My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.